Welcome to this special edition of Nocktails. We're here to celebrate the launch of two new peated whiskies from Annock. Two whiskies we've got today is a sherry cask finish, peated edition, and Peat Heart Batch 3. Both joining Annock's peated range, but both very different. Today I'd like to welcome Stuart Baxter, a global roving international brand ambassador who's joining us today, tasting to explore these two great new drams. Peats, love it or loathe it, that's often been the case with a lot of people. Where do you stand on peated whiskey?
I quite enjoy peated whiskey. I think a lot of people have that blinders effect when they've had that bad experience where someone's egged them on to have their first whiskey as a peated one and they've just not enjoyed it. But it's a different variant, isn't it, to Scotch. It just gives you that different element and side to it, which I absolutely adore. There's time and place for everything, you know, not just whiskey and your beers and wines, but I absolutely adore peated whiskey, especially camping. I go camping quite a lot. I enjoy a peated dram. Peated whiskey is, everyone's association is Isle of Peat, which of course is not, it's not fair to say for all peat. Not that Isle of Peated whiskey is bad, I absolutely adore it, but it's one specific flavour profile of peat that a lot of people don't know there are other options when it comes to peat.
And then we've harped on for ages here about the peat we use here in the Aberdeenshire peat. The chemical composition of this peat was very woody, heathery. And we're not going to get that medicinal TCP iodine hit that so many people associate with peated whiskey. So
it's great because that's one thing I do include, especially when I talk about Annock peated in the range, is that, you know, we look at, you know, peat itself is just semi fossilized organic material, so it's just young coal. And when we look at Isla, it's, you know, what's it, 2,000 years minimum for peat to be formed in the right conditions. And you're looking at semi-fossilized crustaceans and kelp and seaweed in Isla, so you end up with that iodine TCP medicinal flavor profile. And Aberdeenshire peat, northeast of Scotland, you're looking at 2,000 years ago, we would have had crops and forest and flowers, and you end up with, again, as you said, that campfire smoke. So it's, I've always kind of looked at it. The phrasing I like is that you see the same make, model, colour of car driving down the street, but it's two different people driving it. The structure of phenols we always recognise in whiskey, but whoever's driving it, whether it's AC/DC or Taylor Swift, it's going to be a slightly different temperament inside the car. So it's that different flavour profile that you get, regardless of the fact recognising the structure of phenolic or peaty content.
That's a really good way to put it. I'll pinch that one for like later use if you don't mind.
So looking at the full range, and in the past we've released obviously Peat Hearts Batch 1 and 2. You know, for a whiskey that's is known for unpeated malts, it is quite a radical move to run a peated run of new mixed spirit and an unpeated run to create two different malts. So what's the process that goes through, you know, Nocdoe Distillery, and how do you feel about the two runs of spirit that we take out of Nocdoe?
And peated malt is notoriously difficult stuff to work with. The maltsters don't want to dress it too much, or they think they're going to extract phenol, so it tends to be a bit dustier to start with. And there's something about the kilning process using peat that makes the husk, the outer shell of the malt, very, very brittle. So it's very, very easy to damage. So we'll open up the mill rolls a wee bit just to go for a slightly coarser grind. It impacts the yield slightly, but it makes it better to process. It's easier to process. And we've usually got to try and tweak the plant, change the volume of water we put on. So we're going to mash the slightly lower original gravities, but we get the big heavy phenolic compounds come off towards the end of the spirit run. So we'll take the cut point down 1%, maybe 2%. Just to try and harvest some more of these phenols, which upsets the efficiency of the distillery, but it lets us capture smoke along the way. Yeah, you go home from work at night, your clothes smell of smoke. If you still had hair, your hair would smell of smoke. The dog smell of smoke. Everything stinks of smoke. It's absolutely gorgeous.
I was going to say, it's one of my favourite things. It's going, especially from camping, is walking away with that campfire smoke. I absolutely adore it, but you're very aware of how pungent that smell actually is to other people.
Yeah, you get used to it. You get blinded fairly quickly, but other people pick up on it quite quickly. Yeah.
And do you have a preference to which you prefer to actually run through the distillery, a peated run or an unpeated run?
I mean, they're both good fun in their own ways. Peat's always a wee bit more challenging. And because we only do maybe 500-600 tonnes of peat a year, or a total mash bill of 4,500 tonnes a year here.
Yeah.
So it's quite a short run. So it's a short campaign. So it is. It's really good fun to play with.
In terms of the year, how often are you running peated malt through the distillery as opposed to unpeated?
We'll do one campaign each year. We try to judge it. So if we do the last maybe 5-6 weeks of the calendar year on peated malt, and depends on requirement for the following year, if we can tag the peat campaign for the following year onto the back of the last year's one, we've only got one big clean to do.
So just 5 to 6 weeks of peated run. So how did these originally come around, the peat heart and the peated sherry, both of them? Because obviously we had a range of them for the Swedish market and actually in other markets as well. So how did these two kind of come about as a focus?
And there's so much interest in peat whiskies these days, which I'm sure you've seen. And the peat spirit matured so well, went absolutely crazy not to introduce a peated variant of an oak, which sits really well alongside the non-peated range.
It's great that, because it's being such a manual, hands-on craft distillery in that terms, in that kind of world. It really fits in with the ethos of the space of working and problem-solving to establish a peated run and an unpeated run, and obviously the problems that presents itself is working through them. It really kind of fits in with what you and the team have up there. Most whiskies in the past, from a historical point of view, would have been peated, because peat is a readily available fuel source in all of Scotland and within reason. It's easily harvested, and obviously it's a great heat source, and it burns for a long time and very, very hot. So was Knock Do once completely peated, or has it always been focused on unpeated?
It's probably a bit of both there, Stuart. In the old days, they had a peat moss in Rothie May, which is the nearest village, but 5-6 miles away. So it's an Aberdeenshire peat. So chemically, it'll be very, very similar to the peat we're using today, which comes from St. Fergus across in Peterhead. Where the distillery is situated, I mean, it was built here because the railway, the Great North of Scotland Railway, it preceded the distillery. And if you build your distillery next to a railway line, you get access to coal, coke, anthracite, which are pretty cool sources of fuel as well. So it's probably been a mixture of the two fuel types, coal, coke, anthracite, and peat, historically.
Mm-hmm. So these two peated variants that we've got now are not necessarily new. We had ones before. We had things like Rutter and Cutter. So when were they first released?
I think it was 2014. We launched three peated expressions. And the one that really stuck out in my mind was the one that was exclusive to Sweden. They had an expression called Tushkar. I don't know if you've come across that one. Somewhere about 15 ppm in the liquid, and all first fill bourbon casks. Oh, what a gorgeous whiskey. That was so good. What was the other two? Was it Flotter and Rutter? That was three of them were launched at the same time. I think that's the three that came together. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, there's been limited releases. There's Cutter, Raskin.
Yeah.
Barrow, all distinctly different. Slightly cast, different cast selections, different phenol levels in the liquid, and probably slightly different ages as well. And it was pretty interesting because they were all different.
Speaking to age, just before we jump on to taste some of this liquid, speaking to age, a lot of people that I've spoken to, I remember speaking to a gentleman in India, and he was saying, I love peated whiskey, but I only drink whiskey that's 18 years or older. And I was like, right, well, you're not a big fan of peated whiskey then, like real peat. And he was like, yes, I am. And I was like, no, I had to explain the idea is that, yes, we can see peaty and phenols in older whiskey, but it's something that's effectively aged out of whiskey within reason. You know, PPM or phenols, peatiness is at its best between 3 to 10 years old. And that's why you see a lot of kind of pale coloured and younger whiskey, because if you're looking for peat, arguably the younger, the better, the more powerful those flavour profiles are going to come through it.
Yeah, that's another very, very good point, Stuart. Phenol-wise, if we get malted barley in here at 43, 45 ppm phenol, which is it's pretty punchy stuff, if we can retain just slightly over half that amount of phenol new make spirit by tweaking and playing with the plant, we're quite happy.
And for anyone that doesn't know, would you explain ppm?
Parts per million. So I mean, phenol's got such a low detection threshold that the human nose can pick up 2 parts per million, 2 ppm. So if you can imagine a malted barley at 43, 45 ppm, that's pretty punchy stuff. Anyway, shall we have a dram, young man?
Yes. Yeah, I'm ready. What would you like to start with?
Well, we'll go for the sherry cask finish. Is that okay?
Let's do it. Of course. My favourite, I think, flavour profile in Scotch whisky is peated tannins. So peated sherry, peated port, peated wine. I adore it. I absolutely adore it. And I was so excited to sample this when it first came out because it's just absolutely delicious.
That's something that scares me, peat and sherry in the same bottle. Because I've seen that so many times before. They're both big, punchy, big flavours, and sometimes they can just clash heads and it just doesn't work. But I'm really chuffed for this one.
I think it's absolutely cracking. Cheers, Slange.
Slange of a...
What got me more excited is this is going to be a permanent addition to the range. So with not limited, this is here to stay. The nose on this, if I be, is really rich. It's got that nice nuttiness and spiciness, but you're still getting a lot of vanilla through, which of course is coming from the bourbon casks. So we've got American oak, and then it's the sherry, the Oloroso sherry from Miguel Martin, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
So one thing I love about this is that nose, that flavour, that kind of almost nuttiness, but there's that richness and almost spiciness that comes through into, and not spicy chili spice, but that kind of baking spices element. But of course, we're aging this in American oak casks, ex-bourbon, and then we're re-racking it to finish it in first fill sherry butts, specifically Oloroso sherry from Miguel Martin in Jerez. And it's Moorish, it's rich, and as I said, that vanilla is still coming through from the American oak. It's not been killed off, which you might see. And the peat level in this, for anyone that doesn't enjoy peat or hears peat and the alarm bells go off and the blinders go on, I really encourage you to try both Beet Heart and sherry cask, because it's not what you'll expect. It adds an element to it, but it doesn't dominate the liquid in any way for me. It just adds that, the way I've always described kind of, especially peated sherry, is, you know, when you put salt in your food, you're not trying to kill it with salt. You're just adding it to elevate the flavours that are already there. And I think that's exactly what happens with peated sherry, more so than peat heart. I think peat heart is a bit more there, but it's still not dominant. But colour on it's great. There's still that sweetness and juiciness and even that kind of tropical note that probably could be coming from the new make, potentially, that kind of rum agricole note. But what are you thinking in the peated sherry?
I have been wary in the past about combining peat and sherry, but I just think this works so well. The balance is lovely. The two flavours, big strong flavours, but they mold together beautifully. Nose for me, I'm still getting lots and lots of vanilla, which is great. I love ex-bourbon casks, particularly for our new make. We still got that little bit of malt, a little bit of cereal that's come from the raw materials used to make the stuff, which is so important.
But no, I completely agree. The nose is that. There's the maltiness and the vanilla, and then just surrounding all of those flavours that we talked about in the nose is just that campfire smoke. It's wood burning. It's, you know, it's that charred flour. Space, and it's delicate, it's sweet, it's got richness. I absolutely adore this dram.
A little bit different to peat heart as well, isn't it? Just that layer of sherry, that layer of spice you talked about.
Yeah, and it's just, there's a texture to it, and I'm glad I know it sounds maybe ridiculous, but I'm glad we kept this at 43 rather than 40, because it does change. It will make a difference. 3% doesn't sound like much, but it just adds that little bit more to it. This is incredible. So are you ready for Peat Heart Batch 3? This one has become quite a favourite in the markets that we're in. And I know a lot of people have been waiting for Batch 3 because Batch 1 and 2 which I'm still able to find if I'm very, very lucky, batch one, but I can still get batch two, especially if I'm in Sweden. You know, batch three has been really being looked at for a success. So Pete Hart batch three, the one thing we did differently to this is that we actually introduced the PPM, as we talked about earlier, of the malt that came in and then the actual final liquid. So we've got on the box is 34 PPM for the malt, but the actual final measurement due to processing is 13.3. And I think the profile on this is absolutely brilliant. So I just wondered if you wanted to speak to that and the liquid and just what the differences are between this and, say, an Islay peated, for example.
Well, if you can hark back, remember back to the first of the peated variants that were launched from here, we only stated the phenol content in the liquid, which was fantastic. It was unique. Nobody else did that. We moved on to Pete Hart batch one in 2017, and I'm so pleased with batch three. We've got even more information for you to confuse your customers with. So we've got the phenol content in the malted barley and the phenol content in the liquid.
It's really refreshing. It's nice to see, because it gives you, as the consumer, it gives us to be able to see, this is what that translates to into flavour in the glass. It's actually probably quite beneficial for people to understand what they're drinking and what those flavours translate into.
Definitely, without a doubt. The number of people we get coming to the distillery saying, I don't like peated whiskey. I've tried peated whiskey before, I don't like it. And that's possible because they've had an Islay or a West Coast experience in the past. And they try a peated whiskey from here and they think, jinx, actually, I do like peated whiskies after all. It's just going to be a difficult message to get across.
Between the two of these, there's stark differences. The citrus on this is much clearer. There's also that kind of grassy note that sits in the nose. There's a freshness to it that's maybe in the peated sherry, we see a much more richness due to that kind of sherry cask finish. But also, this is sitting at 46%. So another increase in ABV, which is pulling through a bit more flavour, let's say. But I think it at 46 is optimum. And it's amazing. It almost reaches into more of a kind of vanilla cream stickiness when you've added water. It's not as that top level citrus. It's a bit stickier, a bit deeper. With a little bit of water for me, anyway. But yeah, so Pete Hart batch 3, we're 46%, we're non-chill filtered, and it's natural colour from the cask as well, which is amazing.
If you'd like to try one of these wonderful whiskies that we've spoken about today, whiskyshop.com. Good whisky shops are in the UK, and if you go to www.anock.com, there should be details on our website.
Yeah, no, these launched on July 1st, and I mean, that was a short time ago, and they've been very, very successful. It's been really good to see. And obviously, as you said, in Sweden, they've been walking around with peated sherry for a while now, and Pete Hart batch 1 and 2 have been doing very well. So it's really nice to see this side of Knockdo Distillery, see that peated variant, and just see a completely different side to what we know and love already with the unpeated variants.
Stuart, I've really enjoyed this chat today. Thanks so much for your time, your experience and your eloquence in describing these beautiful whiskies.
You as well, Gordon.
Great guest. Thank you very much, Stuart. Slánchová.
Slánch. Thank you.